Big news! The sale of the season is here. It's Wayfair's Black Friday sale, and it's on now. Right now, get up to 80% off everything home and everything you need for the season ahead. Save on quality furniture for every room in the house. Essentials for the guest room, whether it's new bedding or a new mattress. Kitchen and dining must-haves for all your hosting needs. And seasonal home finds like throw pillows and decor. Or favorites that you'll use all year long. And with amazing doorbuster deals from November 27th through December 2nd, you can shop the things you love at even lower prices at Wayfair. Plus, you can sit back and relax with Wayfair's fast and easy shipping. Everything home comes straight to your home. And the best part? Free delivery just in time for the holidays. This Black Friday, Wayfair deals are bigger and better than ever. There's no place like home for the holidays. And no place like Wayfair for Black Friday savings. So don't wait. Black Friday ends soon. Shop Wayfair's Black Friday sale now and save up to 80% off at Wayfair.com.
Wayfair, every style, every home.
Hey, everybody. It's me, Sam Stein, managing editor at The Bulwark. And I'm joined by Aaron Banco, who is the national security reporter for Reuters. We're going to be talking today about a really incredible scoop Aaron had. It's in Reuters, obviously, but it has to deal with this kind of evolving situation involving the Ukraine peace plan, I should say Russia peace plan for Ukraine, that is being pushed right now. And I just say that because we're recording here Sunday at like 12:30. This is probably going to be posted tonight at some point. It's dynamic. So what we say might seem a little bit outdated, but Aaron's reporting won't. Aaron, your story starts off at a meeting in Miami that has now gotten the attention of what you say, U.S. officials and lawmakers who are, as you report, increasingly concerned about this meeting. It happened last month. Set the stage for us.
So this meeting took place at the very end of October, between October 24th and October 26th. It included Jared Kushner, Steve Witkoff, who's the special envoy working on this peace plan, and a guy named Kirill Dmitriev, who is Russian. He's a very close to President Putin, and he runs one of the country's largest sovereign wealth funds and has been in like the Trump orbit since the first administration.
When you say the Trump orbit, what does that mean? Like he's just friendly with these guys?
Sort of, yeah. I mean, when Trump won in 2016, Dmitriev was one of the only people connected to President Putin and the Kremlin who tried to make inroads with the Trump team. His goal was to try to reset relations between the U.S. and Russia. He had that infamous meeting with Eric Prince in the Seychelles that then ended up getting reported on in the Mueller report. And he also made inroads with Jared Kushner via a friend of Jared's. He drafts this sort of plan to reset relations between the two countries and hands it off to a Kushner intermediary who then gives it to Kushner.
So they meet in late October, Kushner, Witkoff, and Dmitriev. And what is discussed?
So the details about the meeting are pretty scarce. But what we do know is that what comes out of the meeting is this 28-point peace plan that then gets leaked to Axios earlier this week. So there's a lot of speculation about how those conversations unfolded in those days in Miami, including the extent to which Dmitriev brings an actual proposal to Miami to get sign off from Witkoff and Kushner, or does he bring like bullet points? Dmitriev's a guy who does this all the time. This is the way he operates. He draws up plans. He passes it around. He tries to get people to look at his ideas. I mean, this has been happening since the first Trump administration.
You are certain that he came in to this meeting in October with either a peace plan or bullet points, but some sort of agenda from the Russian side for a peace deal or a diplomatic solution to the war in Ukraine. We're fairly certain about that, right?
Yes.
Were there other inputs in that meeting, as in were the Ukrainians involved, were any U.S. lawmakers involved, or was it just Witkoff and Kushner?
So the Ukrainians were not at the meeting. It was just Witkoff and Kushner. I think it's fair to say, again, we don't have a ton of details. I think it's fair to say that they go into this meeting knowing what the Ukrainians think in general about ending the war. I mean, they've been having these conversations since January, but a lot of the language that's included in the peace plan that's now out there includes demands by Russia that they've been making since January, like for a long time, right? And the language is just very similar to what we hear Dmitriev and Putin and others inside Russia talking about when they want the war to end. Like they want Ukraine to give up territory in the east. They don't want them to join NATO. I mean, these are what a lot of people in DC define as maximalist demands that Russia has wanted for a long time.
This is what kind of stood out to people, was that this 28 part peace plan which gets kind of like divulged fairly randomly, right? Like it was just sort of out of nowhere. It seems incredibly tilted to the Russian side. And then there's a like kind of mass speculation, like people are running it through AI machines to see if like the rhetorical origins are Russian and things like that. Can you
I think that's happening because nobody knows how it got developed in the first
place. Exactly. So just talk about the plan itself. What is the actual, what are some of the 28 points? And I mean, people are like maybe vaguely familiar with the contours of what a deal might look like, but why is the sort of overwhelming interpretation that this is a clear Russian plan?
Well, it sort of gets back to the points that I was just making, right? It's like, okay, the war is going to end and Ukraine gets security guarantees. And then Russia basically gets a lot of the other demands that it's been making. Right. You know, again, Ukraine's not joining NATO. It cedes land that it thinks it can or claims it controls in the east. I mean, that's huge.
Caps its military at 600,000.
Yeah, it capping its military. I mean, these are huge wins for Russia. And
right.
It's a big trade-off for Ukraine. And part of the reason, you know, you'll talk to people inside the White House about this and they'll say, look, you know, Russia's winning. You know, they have the upper hand here. If they want these things, you know, Ukraine
is that true? Doesn't
have much choice. I mean, I'm not a battlefield expert. I would say that, like, in the East, where the fighting has been very intense, Russia is on the up and up. Like, it is in certain neighborhoods and on certain battlefields winning. And I think we thought at the beginning of the year that Ukraine would have the ability to sort of stave them off. But now we're coming to winter time. Things are going to get like literally muddy in Ukraine. And and it doesn't look good for Ukraine right now on the battlefield in the East.
And so is the perception that the administration both sees this as the inevitable outcome, but also that they're taking some sort of advantage of this window that presents itself?
Yeah, I think that's very fair. But again, like, we don't know exactly, you know, how this plan gets crafted in this hotel in Miami. And right. So, like, if we think back to Trump 1 and there would be news about, like, some side meeting or back channel meeting that happens where there aren't any note takers or translators or whatever. I mean, it would have been like a huge deal, but now this has just become commonplace, right? This is just like how Trump world does business. But I think what's concerning officials is like Dmitriev, right? He has been front and center in a lot of these negotiations with Witkoff. He is sanctioned by the US. He's actually blacklisted by the US. He's had to receive certain waivers to come into the country. He's a close Putin ally and confidant. And he's just like a slippery guy. I mean, he is just very much part of the Russian apparatus, but he has a ton of business ties in the West. And so he can kind of play into both circles. And so I think people are just concerned about the nature of the conversation.
Well, yeah. And also I get that this is how they do business, but like we do have a Secretary of State still. I mean, he happens to be the head of the National Archives as well. And he's got a lot of jobs, but he is the Secretary of State.
Right.
And he seems to be weirdly sidelined, but also not. And so we had this incredibly odd thing that happened in Halifax last night where, and I'm just going to try to summarize it and you can tell me what you've heard. Marco Rubio apparently is talking to at least three senators and explaining to them that this 28-point plan is not a U.S.-authored plan, or at least that's how the senators interpreted what Rubio says. They come out and they say, we've been authorized to say this. Like, this is just a starting point in negotiations, not actually the U.S. plan. And then the State Department spokesperson chimes in and says, no, that's not true. This is false. And then Rubio gets on Twitter and tries to clarify, but leaves open interpretation that it is actually not a U.S. plan. It's a starting point for negotiations. And there's this just general mass confusion about what is actually happening.
I mean, there's been confusion about this plan since like it got leaked to Axios. But I think there's a couple things we can say. I think it's fair to say the administration was caught off guard by the leak. I think that's super fair. I also think.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay.
Like, I mean, we're talking to people in press shops throughout the government that first day. I mean, no one knew what was going on. Like no one had a clear message or answer. It wasn't until the next day that they start syncing up like what their messaging is. And I think to a large extent, the White House press shop is directing the messaging on this now. And I don't know what happened on that call. Like, the lawmakers are saying one thing. The State Department publicly is saying another thing. There could have been some misinterpretation, but like, I think it's fair to say.
This is three separate senators, Republican, a Democrat, an independent, who all got the same message from this call. Okay.
Yes. Yeah. Okay. So I'm still reporting this out, but
sure.
There, like, okay, I'm just talking in hypotheticals now. There could have been a situation where, like, Dmitriev comes to the meeting in Miami. He's got, like, a list of Russian demands, and a lot of them are folded in, and Jared and Witkoff sign off. They say, great, you draw it up. Dmitriev draws it up, and, like, it's being passed around that small circle for some time, and then eventually Rubio's read in. I don't know when Rubio was read in. I have questions about whether or not he was even read in on that meeting in Miami, but
okay.
We're still reporting that out. And then, you know, U.S. authored, what does that mean? Does it mean that, like, they wrote it? Does it mean that they signed off on it? Does it mean that now okay
authored,
it?
Yeah, authored to me means they had input on it, right? Like, that you don't – they could have said U.S. approved would have been signed off. Authored means that we had input into this 28-point plan, to me.
I'm sure they did. I'm sure right. They did. Like, this
is, what does that mean?
Yeah. I don't believe that this is, like,
pure Russian. You
know, comes out of, like, the Kremlin in Moscow and is, like, right. Just leaked to Axios. Like, I believe yeah. That there were conversations with the
well, US. One thing,
but that raises even more questions and concerns for officials, right? Because they're like, right. Wait a minute. Okay, so you're saying that this is mostly coming out of Russia, but you were, like, in on the meeting to discuss it and approved it. And so right. Now that means that's a U.S. authored plan. Like, there are just so many questions about how those conversations unfold.
Well, the other thing about the Rubio tweet, and I just might as well, I'm going to read it. It says, the peace proposal was authored by the U.S. It is offered, not authored, offered as a strong framework for ongoing negotiations. It is based on input from the Russian side, but it is also based on previous and ongoing input from Ukraine. That last part to me is very, I mean, that's the clearest part. We worked with the Russians on this. It took into account what the Ukrainians had previously right. told us and continue to advocate for. They were not at the table. He's just saying they weren't at the table. The Russians were.
Correct.
This is the plan. Yeah.
Correct. That makes sense to me.
Why does that make sense? I don't understand. It's a peace process.
I'm not saying that it makes sense as in this is good. Okay. I'm saying that, you know, if this meeting only included Dmitriev and not the right. Ukrainians, it yes. makes sense that it would include a lot of Russian demands and probably not a lot of Ukrainian, you know,
yes.
demands, right? Like, that's what I mean in terms of process. If the Ukrainians weren't at the table, then
yeah.
of course, whatever comes out of that meeting is not necessarily going to have what Kiev wants in it, right?
Yeah, yeah. Well, I guess, so then the question now is, what is the timeline here? Because the other thing that the U.S. side is saying is that Ukraine has to sign off on this thing by Thanksgiving or they're going to lose U.S. aid.
Yet here
Rubio is saying, well, this is a foundation for talks. Like, does that mean they have, what, 4 or 5 days to, you know, get their amendments in and that's it? I don't know.
I do know. We have sourcing that says the Ukrainians were read in after this Miami meeting. But sure. I don't know the extent to which they were, like, you know, going back and forth with the White House about what they wanted in it. I don't know if they were just briefed. It seems like it was very baseline. Here's what we have. Let us know what you think. Now there are talks today in Geneva and we'll have to see, you know, what comes out of those. The Ukrainians are there, so is a huge U.S. entourage. But I think it all comes down to this meeting in Miami. Like, it comes down to that conversation. What happened? What did Dmitriev
sure? Say? But like, they have we're like a week out, not even till Thanksgiving. Is the expectation that there will be signatures on this thing in three or four days?
I find it highly doubtful that will happen. I mean, I don't think the Ukrainians are ready to sign off.
It does give me a little bit of sort of. Deja vu. This is the play they sort of ran with Gaza, right? It's like, here's a peace deal, get on board or this is it. And they're like, just stuff it.
Well,
that worked.
Interesting, right? Because like Kushner hadn't been involved in these Russian talks until a couple months ago. And so I think the president obviously trusts Jared and he has been involved with Witkoff on the Gaza talks. I think the playbook is like kind of similar. I should also note that Kushner's close with Dmitriev. They worked together under the first administration on COVID stuff. So he has a direct line to Dmitriev. I think if you're the president and you want to fast track a peace process, like you're going to get probably Jared involved because he has the connection to Dmitriev and he's already working with Witkoff on the Gaza plan. Again, though, like the interagency process as it was like completely not just like nobody in the interagency knew about
what is it? What is the interagency process here? It's like total freelancing. Well,
the NSC is supposed to be the one that coordinates like these major, you know, briefings or meetings or cables, right?
Man,
like,
shit gets done in Miami hotel rooms. That's just the way it happens.
I guess. Oh, and I should say, like, Dmitriev's holding up court in the Fiano Hotel in Miami, which is owned by Len Blavatnik, who does business with
now you're getting way past my understanding of Russian shady Russian figures. So
it's just like, probably it's all very strange.
All right, Erin Benko, read her stuff at Reuters, especially her big old scoop. It's titled Trump Officials Meeting with Russian in Miami Spurs Questions About Ukraine Proposal. I want to talk to your headline writer about that stuff. Wouldn't have flown in the Daily Beast days. Thank you so much. Really appreciate it, Erin.
Thank you.